Weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly.
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
And that was the song Bobby Blaze by the Tim Dombrova Experience.
I thought it was Purple Blaze.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah.
I am the morning DJ host around here, Dr. Jeremy Fever, and we're about ready to do a handoff to Bobby Flytrap, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him into the studio a little early.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, man.
Yeah.
Glad to be here early. Fuck.
Thanksgiving. I've got things that I'm hoping to be thankful for this year. Well, it's been, again, like you say, this year has been as fucked up as a can of fishing worms. So,
that's right.
Yeah,
but I'm remaining optimistically hopeful. Oh man, but let's see. I'm thankful for the fans, Jeremy. Let me say, I'm thankful for the fans, but also I'm thankful for the internet. My internet's up. Hopefully it doesn't go out this week. I'm thankful for my health thus far. Started off rough this year, but I'm thankful for my health right now. I'm thankful I got a roof over my head and a bed to sleep in, man. I'll start with those things, and then from there we'll break it down further. How's that?
Yeah. Well,
come on. You got something. You got a futon to be thankful for or something, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, you have futon, we'll travel. That's my motto.
Just roll it up, throw it in your back, and go.
Yeah. You know, I'm thankful that three drug companies have announced a possible vaccine.
Yes.
I am thankful that Dr. Seuss's new book, Things I Will Put Up Your Ass If You Don't Put On That Fucking Mask, has come out. that's pretty good.
I hope it's not a shitty read.
I am thankful for our fans and listeners out there. I am thankful.
Absolutely.
I am thankful we got this show back together.
Yes.
I am thankful that my mom is cooking dinner, and ever since I got divorced, I don't have to cook the turkey anymore.
There's something positive.
That's
there's
it.
There's something positive. I'm thankful for a lot of things, and I'm thankful for you, Professor, because we got this podcast back together. I'm thankful for the podcast, man. I am. Appreciate that. I'm going to put in a thank you to all the veterans in the United States of America. Things crazy everywhere right now, but if you're a veteran, I want to say thank you. One of my sons is currently serving this country, and I appreciate that and respect him for that. With that, I wanted to take that somewhere. I've got a special shout out. I'm putting out my thank yous. So Marty Howe 71 at Martin Howe 71, brother sent me three masks. I've got a pin me, pay me mask. I've got a little blaze mask with some flames on it, and he sent me one kind of a luchador type with a bunch of masks on it, a mask on a mask that I'm going to wear under my mask maybe, you know. So also I want to say it because Marty is a United States Marine veteran. So thank you, Marty, for the mask. Thank you for serving this country. And thanks for being a listener, man. He's a friend of the show. He also listens to, of course, the BTNT. Over there at the Booking of Terror podcast. He's a Ron Fuller fan, of course, like we all are, a Jim Cornette fan. So he listens to a lot of the same podcasts that you and I listen to, and he's a hell of a good dude, man. I appreciate that very much. So that's one thing to be thankful for, some new mask to wear. Let's see. Thankful for I read that Matthew McConaughey book, Green Lights. It's all about positivity and catching green lights. And I tell you something to be thankful for because, if you got a pair of shoes in your feet, be thankful because he said, one of the little lessons you get when you're young, when you're a young kid, and you're bitching and complaining about something and you don't get something you want maybe. And he's bitching about a pair of tennis shoes one day he got. And his mom said, well, you keep bitching about them shoes and I'll take you and show you the man with no feet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm thankful just to have a damn pair of shoes, Jeremy. You know, that's a good thing. Just thankful for a lot of things, man.
Yeah. It's, I kind of talk it down a little bit because this year is so goofy. But there's a lot to be, positive about. There's a lot to be hopeful about. So let's hope that all pans out.
Well, Let's do something special this year. Let's maybe go out and drop some turkeys.
Oh yeah. So I guess we're still playing around with how we're going to do this. But one of the things, one of my favorite things about Thanksgiving is the WKRP episode Turkeys Away.
Yep.
Which we are actually naming our show after this week. It involved a turkey giveaway from 10 or 15,000 feet, I believe.
Yeah.
Where they just started throwing turkeys out of a helicopter to the awaiting crowd below. And it is, we're actually going to, I'm going to play that bit, you know, before this episode's over, just so everybody can hear it. Cause it is so damn funny. But, you know, so we're kind of talking about WKRP, which this was in its first season, which was in 1978. So we also went out and dug up some 1978 wrestling facts.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think we're going to keep it short this week for Thanksgiving, but we're going to kind of do some talking about what was going on in 1978. And then we'll cut to our man on the street, Les Nessman.
I can't wait for that, man. We'll just stay back to the studio. Yep. Wait for that report at this time. That's it.
So going back to 1978, a couple things I pulled up was that Harley Race was champion all year that year, did not hand off his title. And there's a thing about Harley Race that I love more than anything else, and it's that usually a heel champ cheats because they have to stay champ. Harley Race cheated because he liked to. It was a completely different thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Because he's a heel.
Yep, because he's a heel.
Because he was a heel.
See, Harley Race.
That's what heels do.
Yep, Harley Race can beat you anyways. But he's going to go ahead and cheat because he's a heel. And that's.
Secure that win.
That's it. Dusty Rhodes was Wrestler of the Year in 1978.
Man, the American Dream. All right, yeah. Dusty.
So we got, what is that, 4 or 5 years from his face turn to being Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah, let's see, 78. So Dusty. I don't think, let me think, 78. Nope, I hadn't seen Harley or Dusty in person at that point. A lot of magazine covers, both of them, during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think the first time I saw Dusty in person. So, yeah, anyway, Wrestler of the Year, PWI. What else you got there? Who was a tag team of the year?
Oh, tag team of the year would have been Ricky Steamboat and Paul Jones.
Hmm.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say.
Happy fucking Thanksgiving. Woo-hoo! No. I was going to say, my brother and I was just talking the other day about Ricky Steamboat and his partner, Jay Youngblood. Because I think we was talking a couple weeks back about the Briscoe brothers.
Yeah.
And I think I shared a Terry Funk story about leaving. What we was talking about was one of the Briscoes, when he was leaving, he got off the plane from Tampa. He got on a plane at Tampa, got off in New York or wherever, told his brother, hey, I was smoking a cigarette. It's way before 911, of course, or whatever. And was going across the tarmac and went right over and bought a ticket right back to Tampa. He said, tell him I'm done, and never looked back on it. You know, one of the Briscoes. So that Jack, right? I'm sorry. So we was talking about them. And I said, the only really good match that I really recall seeing them together was against Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood. They had a really good tag team. But I never saw Ricky Steamboat and Paul Jones together. Did you see them at that time or not?
No. And so at this point here, what would have been available to me was San Francisco.
Okay.
And so Dusty had come through here. I guess he even wrestled downtown here in Modesto a couple times. And I believe for a bit, Dusty Rhodes was U.S. champion in this territory.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and find the year, but I'm pretty sure he held the U.S. title here at one point.
Yeah. We were getting Memphis at this point, and we also got ICW out of Lexington. Memphis, being Memphis, Tennessee, Lawler and the Jarretts and that group, and then Popos and, you know, Savage and Hustler Rip Rogers and Bob Wharton Jr.'s Malenko's, they were in ICW at that time, that we got on Saturday nights. They used to have a really good time slot. Then we started getting it late at night on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Dusty would have come through maybe with the Sheik's territory up in West Virginia, maybe NWA would have come through there, but I hadn't been up to that, up, up, at that point in 78, I hadn't seen them, you know, up in that area yet.
Yeah.
I don't think I went to a show. See, I know I was 15 when I went to a show in Huntington, but it was a No Chic show. Like I said, I don't think Dusty was on, or I would have remembered it like I remembered Andre, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I know he didn't come here. Probably came through Memphis. I mean, you know, for sure on Memphis on seeing the TV, but not through this area, you know, when they was touring up this way. So,
well, and Dusty at this point, he was like an event wrestler at this point. He was a guy you brought in to draw numbers.
You know,
I mean, they would fly him out to New York on occasion to go against superstar Billy Graham, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, I may have seen him like, you know, probably 77, 78, somewhere that time, just in magazines mostly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So most popular of the year, of course, is Dusty Rhodes.
Yep.
So that's what we're talking about, Dusty there. Yeah.
Yeah. He was wrestler of the year and most popular, which gets us to the most hated.
Yeah.
And it was Ric Flair who eventually became the most loved because he was so well hated. The argument to be made, greatest NWA champion of all time, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I think most people will say, I don't know, maybe that's a question for this week. We'll see. Might have to have a question out there for all of our listeners. Name these songs and win $5,000. It's as easy as that.
There we go.
And back to the wrestling. Name these 10 wrestlers. We're going to go through quite a few here in a minute, but we still got some more to go through. So you got Flair from going to the most hated wrestler of the year to the most improved wrestler of the year. Who was that?
Number one with a bullet, Dino Bravo.
Oh, man. Wow, you had to add that, didn't you?
Well, you know.
Shots fired. Shots fired. Damn.
Oh, Jesus.
Holiday season will get you, Jeremy. It'll get you, man.
It really does. You know, there used to be a thing that nobody wanted to go with me to Midnight Mass for Christmas because they were afraid that one year a lightning bolt really would come through the window. Well, you know, Catholics are a little superstitious, so that's why people looked at it that way. But they were just like, the shit that comes out of your mouth. Oh, I know. Oh,
that's why we love you, Professor. Thank you.
Okay. This next one, there must be a story here that I'm missing. The PWI most inspirational wrestler of the year was Blackjack Mulligan.
Yeah, when I saw that, I had two things to think of. One, he served in the service, so that's cool because he was a USMC.
Okay.
But I'm drawing a blank too. He must have done something that year to be most inspirational. Did he make a comeback? Did he turn face? I'm not sure what happened either. So if anyone out there knows, you can hit us up here at WKRP in Cincinnati. You can hit us up in modern times. There's this thing in the future, Jeremy. I think you're going to like it. It's called Twitter.
Oh, awesome.
Hit me up at Twitter at, Venus Flytrap. And, wait a minute. I'm still. All right.
We're all over the place here. Yeah.
Okay. Back to reality. Okay. Hit me up at Bobby Blaze 744. Hit the professor up at the Giga Cast, or hit us up at Bell to Bell Blaze. We're also on, those are all on Twitter. We're on a Facebook feed at Bell to Bell Blaze. Maybe someone knows out there why in 1978, PWI's most inspirational wrestler was Blackjack Mulligan. It's not a test, folks. You ain't got to study or anything. If someone knows, just
let us know.
Have to research it big time. If you know it, just send it. That'd be really cool.
Well, could it be, because people still wore mustaches a lot in 1978, right?
Yeah, those porn mustaches.
Yeah, well, maybe people were inspired by Blackjack Mulligan's magnificent mustache.
You know what? Speaking of hair, Bush was popular in 1978.
Yes,
you know
yes,
that
it was.
Bush was available in 1978. Some of you girls out there, grow some hair. Hey, it's supposed to be No Shave November. Thankfully, I haven't got any dick pics. I don't think we got any female listeners, but if we do, send me a damn picture of your No Shave November beaver babies. I'll be like in the back of an old hustler, man, at a beaver hunt, man.
Oh, yeah.
There was some beavers in the beaver hunt, let me tell you.
In 1978, every woman looked like they had buckwheat and a head scissor.
Yeah.
They had some untrimmed, untamed back in the day, you know?
Yeah. for sure.
But
anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, let's go ahead. You have something to say about hair? well, you got hair in your mouth?
Well, I was gonna say, speaking of Wild.
Okay.
PWI.
I'm gonna say something about some fried chicken and cold beer, because I'm gonna tell you, we're Jesus recording Christ. This, man, and getting ready for some turkey and stuff and stuffings and stuff. But anyway, rookie of the year, Tommy Wildfire Rich, man. Imagine that, man.
Yeah. And
out of Peaksville, Tennessee, down there. What a stud, man.
Not too many years after this, he would be world champion.
Yeah. Yeah, Tommy Wildfire Rich, man.
Yeah, for a day or two. I wonder who had a shorter reign, Ron Garvin or Tommy Rich?
Yeah, I think Rich's was a week, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was.
I think it was five or 7 days. I remember it was in Georgia there, and I know it was I don't know if it was a full week is what I was getting at, from the time he got it to the following week. It might have been 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, and you know, if rumors are true, you know, like after that week, he was like, damn it, Jim Barnett, I didn't do all that for a week.
Oh, man, you had to go there, didn't you? Man, are you, tell you, you're hardcore this week, Professor, damn. Oh, man, you're going to get us fired from there at this WKLP gig, I tell you.
Well, as long as Andy and Mr. Carlson don't hear us, we'll be just fine.
I guess so. Maybe we can hook up with Jennifer and Bailey, I don't know.
You go ahead and take Jennifer. I'll take Bailey.
Yeah, I could tag that too. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah,
I'll take one of them.
I'm fine with either way. But yeah. There's always something about Bailey that I just always really liked. And
okay. Would you take Joyce DeWitt or Suzanne Summers?
Ooh, out of those, I would definitely go with Suzanne Summers.
Oh, I'd take Joyce DeWitt then.
Yeah,
no
my dad was a Joyce DeWitt fan too.
Okay, I'll take her.
Yeah. I mean, now look, I mean, yeah, I'm not kicking her out of bed for eating soup crackers or nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Who else we got out there? Oh, we got PWI Manager of the Year.
Arnold Skoland.
Yeah, and he was managing Backlund, right?
I believe he was with Backlund at this point.
My question is, did he have the title all of 78 or not? Because I knew Backlund had the title in 78 in the WWF, okay? And when I saw that you had Harley Race up there, which is fine with me, I was just wondering why, if not, you didn't have just curious. Didn't have Bob Backlund up here, but also Arnold Skoland. Now he's managing a babyface, right?
Yes,
that's the whole thing. He carried around the towel and he carried around the money or whatever. But he basically was. Has that happened before or since? Am I drawing a blank somewhere here? Why am I? You know, why does a babyface have the manager? What was, you know what I'm saying? Has that been done a lot more since then or not? I don't think so.
Well, okay, so if I were going to think about this, I can't think of a lot of babyface managers. I mean, there was that brief period with Jimmy Hart and Hogan, so we count that. We're not going to count valets, because that's not the same.
Right.
Let's think. Let me think.
You might have a second or something. You know, some matches don't have that second, but that's not, again, the same as
far
as
having a manager. Yeah, it's not the same as a manager,
I don't know. Just something to think about. But anyway, I guess, and I know Backlund, I don't know if he had the title the whole year of 78 or not like Race did. He may have got it, you know, I'm not sure. Again, hit us up and let us know, man. Real quickly, Jeremy, I'm just going to give us a couple book plugs here, get these in and out of the way this week. On Amazon, the professor's got it set up. If you'd like to buy one of my books to help – the show gets a little bit of kickback. That's the way it basically works. If you purchase a book, the show gets a little bit of a kickback through the Amazon affiliate account, and it does come back to the program some. With that said, I have two books out there. Both of them are available by using the tiny URL. I've got Pin Me, Pay Me, Have Boostable Travel. Just hit tinyurl.com/book1. If you like I Kicked Out on Two, The Educational Wrestler, just go to tinyurl.com/book2. Okay. Appreciate it very much. You know, I don't know what the deal is with Amazon. They get shit sent to you pretty quick. I got Prime and I bought something the other day and I got it very next day. I actually delivered on a Sunday, believe it or not. They delivered on a Sunday. I got some CPAP cleaners for my CPAP. And I knew I was running out, so you know, I got about 7 or 8 left. I start to order them. They came when I ordered them on a damn Saturday. They came on my doorstep on a Sunday the next day. So anyway, what I'm getting at is, with the holidays coming up, being Thanksgiving, you know what's coming next. Santa Claus coming to town.
Yep.
You better get them books ordered now. That's all I'm saying, because you don't know what's going on with packages and Amazon and the Corona and all that stuff out in the world. Order your damn book and get it in the mail ASAP before Christmas time, or drop ship it to someone else that you might think they would enjoy one of my books. Okay, that's enough of the book talk. We're going to go back to 1978 here in just a second.
Yep.
And talk about some other happenings around the world of professional wrestling.
Okay, so I just went and looked it up just so I would know, because now I'm curious. Okay. Bob Backlund won the title in February of 1978.
Okay.
And he was champion the rest of the year. Actually, he was champion for the next...
5 years, I think.
Well, no, because hold on. There's the fake Inoki win.
Okay.
Then it's quote-unquote vacated, but they just pretended like it never happened. So, yeah.
Shout out to I Am Vacated out there.
Yep.
Shout out to him real quick. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Yep. And then it goes all the way up to the Sheik beating him when most popular manager Arnold Skullin threw in the towel.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, there's some trivia for you, some history for you. I knew he was champion in 78. I just didn't know when he had won it in 78. So February.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Oh, so now I got to do this. Okay. In 1978, AWA world champion was Nick Bockwinkle for his third year going into November of 78 was his third year as world champion.
So he had it all year then.
Yeah.
From 76 and 77, both then, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
He won it in 75 and then held on to it until 1980. When Grandpa Vern would come out of retirement, apparently.
Yeah, you know, so, and there, look at that. That, let's not go off on some big tangent of your fucking Mount Rushmores out there, people, because, you know, Jeremy, you and myself and Tex, we had several ideas on doing something like that. But just for today's sake, let's just say this. If you got three people right now, you know who it's going to be. It's going to be Harley Race, Bob Backlund, and
Nick Bockwinkle.
Nick Bockwinkle right there. Okay, that's three. I know you can put four up there. You're gonna say, well, give us a bonus, one for five or whatever. Let's just say right now, in that year, that's three pretty damn good world champions right there.
Yeah. 1978. Well, so okay, let's say we're doing a Mount Rushmore, and those three have to be on there, and you need the fourth position. I am gonna go ahead and go with Lou Fez.
Okay. I'm not adding one. I'm going to stay right here at 78 reading my fucking PWI magazine, and this is who I know is champion. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, exactly.
I'm hoping to get a letter in the mail from my uncle that may have went to a show at the Civic Center, and he sends me a handbill or something, you know? I went to the show at the Armory and saw, in fact, that was the first year and only time the Memphis territory come to the National Guard Armory with the crew. But we got ICW back then, had those guys coming through. Anyway, yeah. Keeping it there. I can see Thaz. That's a good one, you know, for your Mount Rushmore. That's good.
Well,
let's kick around some ideas or some different show dates around Thanksgiving of that year.
All right.
Since we're kind of around, say, in the 78, let's just stay there and throw out some show dates. I think you got one a week before Thanksgiving you'd like to mention.
So in Dallas on November 19th, 1978, Kevin, David, and Kerry Von Erich defeat Bruiser Brody, Gino Hernandez, and White Knight. White Knight, I'm assuming, was a mask guy and probably was Mark Lewin or somebody. But that's a hell of a draw right there, the Von Erichs versus Brody and Gino.
That's what I'm going to look at each of these cards. Absolutely. Look at that fucking main event, man. That's wild.
Yeah.
That is wild, man. Because with your next match, Dusty Rhodes, you just said, was traveling around.
Yep.
And, you know, and he's first, and he drew Mark Lewin. There's another hell of a good match right there. Had to be a good draw.
Yep. What's funny here is I'm pretty familiar with most names that were working in the late 70s through the 80s.
Right.
Al Madrill and Bill White are not ringing a bell for me.
Yeah, I've heard Al Madrill's name, Bill White, not so much. I mean, I know who Bill Smith is, Bill Thomas is, and Bill Tom Jamas, you know, but I don't know about Bill White. I know Billy Black, but that's in the future.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't affect us here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure either, to be honest with you. And then Ichiban number one. I guess that's number one in Japanese, Ichiban. I wrestled the Ichiban kid one time in the future, just so you know.
Oh, yeah?
Good little kid, too, yeah. But anyway, in Dallas in 1978, Ichiban number one defeated Gamma Singh.
Yep, and I guess that's a good part. I guess in Japan that would just be Ichiban, Ichiban.
Yeah, Ichiban, Ichiban, exactly. Yeah. Ichiban number one.
Exactly, yeah. there you go. And it turns out that Ichiban was probably a mass band, so I'm going to bet it was Keiji Muto. I'm just
That's your answer for every mass man for the last... Since we've been back on the air.
Yes, yes. Well, it's because Bobby, every time I turn around, I go, well, who's this guy wearing a mask in Japan? Oh, it was Keiji Muto. Oh, who's that guy playing White Ninja? Oh, it's Keiji Muto. Okay. All right.
Oh, man. Before we go on, I'm just wondering if we could just glad we still got the internet going on out here, man.
Yeah.
Just, you know, making sure that everything's going. We haven't dropped any, I don't think. That's a good thing, so we're thankful for that. Let's see. I think we're going to go across the country to in 1978, Thanksgiving Day was on November the 23rd, it looks like. And I know we got three shows we're going to talk about, correct?
Yep. That
took place on 11/23/1978. The first one we're going to start off with is over at the Norfolk over at the Scope Center in Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk, Virginia, at the Scope Center. There you go, Bobby. Spit it out. Name the damn main event on that match, man.
Well, that would be the world champion Harley Race against Paul Jones. Number one, Paul Jones. Ichiban, Paul Jones.
Ichiban. You sold it, man. That's fast. You're fast this week, man. Man. You're quick-witted and getting it all in this week. Yeah, okay. Then next we had someone we spoke very briefly about last week, but that was Greg Valentine at this time. He's teaming with Baron Von Raschke, and they beat Jimmy Snuka and Paul Orndorff. Now, listen to these names, yeah. People. This is a hot fucking card when you go and see it, man. I mean, this is cool. Jacques Goulet and Rudy Kay beat Ted Oates and Jerry Oates, the Oates brothers. I think they're out of Georgia. Skip Young beat Gene Anderson. That sounds like an upset to me.
That does. Are we sure we got that right?
I don't know. That sounds like an upset. Abe Jacobs beat Mr. X, number two. Now, there you go. Told you a story about meeting Dr. X. I don't even want to go there. Mr. X, number two, it's just a guy in a mask. Not sure who it would have been in 1978.
They couldn't afford Mr. X, number one, is what happened.
No, they couldn't.
They spent all their money on Harley Race and Paul Jones.
Yeah, I bet they got a good payoff that night.
I bet they did.
Herb Galante beat Joe Pilardi. Is that how you say it?
Pilardi. Yeah, Pilardi. Okay. Two guys that don't really stand out to me in memory either, but you know, there's going to be a few of those, so that's okay. You know what? Honestly, back in Paul Jones's day, Paul Jones versus Harley Race would have been a hell of a match.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Paul Jones was a fucking stretcher back in his day, man.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Man.
He really was kind of that last old school style of hookers that really, you know, come in and really tie your ass up kind of guys, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. That was over Virginia. Let's go over to the Carolinas. More specifically, let's go to Greensboro, North Carolina at the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
There's some familiar names here everyone should recognize. Mr. Lightning, our commissioner, Steve Regal, beat Frank Monte. Is that correct?
That is correct. Looks
like that would have got to go. We're going to bottom of the card to top of the card this time. We got Don Canoodle beating Steve Muslin. Here you go. This is interesting right here coming up. Richard Blood and Jay Youngblood beat Mr. X number one and Chris Tullis.
Oh.
Now, just last week, I was asking about, I think, Ricky Steamboat, right? No? Who are we talking about?
Yeah, we
team with
Paul Jones and Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, they okay.
This is kind of odd. Yeah, look at this. Okay, Richard Blood.
Yeah.
Is Ricky Steamboat. Okay, I don't think Gary Young is Jay Youngblood. I think that's somebody
else. No, I don't think so. Yeah. That's because I thought about them. I'm trying to think. But then here you got Mr. X number one. He's over in Greensboro, where in Norfolk, Mr. X number two was over there, see?
So they split up the X's that night,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, that night. That's what it looks like. So there was a tag team that would have been Mr. X1 and Mr. X2 if they weren't a tag team. I don't know. Anyway, they split them up because there's Mr. X over at the Scope Center, and then there's one at the Coliseum in Greensboro. So anyway, then you got Jay Youngblood, who was mentioned talking about teaming with Ricky Steamboat last. I know we talked about that a little bit, but here he is teamed with Johnny Weaver, and he beat Brute Bernard, and Sweet Hansen. So Johnny Weaver is still doing the Johnny Weaver gimmick, right? Yep. At that point, no. Okay.
They wouldn't
that territory.
Yeah, they wouldn't have him down as Johnny Weaver if he was Yeah.
Okay. Tony Atlas beat Ken Patera by DQ.
Wait a minute. There's something goofy going on here.
This is, I don't know. Let me just read them out and then we'll go back. Ricky Steamboat beat John Studd, according to this, and then Ric Flair beat Blackjack Mulligan in a cage match. Okay, so Blackjack, he's most inspirational wrestler of the year. Here he is in a main event over in Greensboro against Ric Flair, because he would have had a bit of baby face.
Had to
in
have a cage. Been, yeah.
Flair's the heel, because the champ, Harley, is over at the Scope Center in Norfolk. So anyway, I'm just trying to distinguish between, this is JCP running two shows on the same night, 1978, folks. So bear with us here. There's just kind of some things we're kind of just throwing around here, some question marks on them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How can Richard Blood and Ricky Steamboat be on the same card unless there's a different Richard Blood?
Well, that's one question for sure. As far as match quality goes, we've mentioned all these. We mentioned a couple people we didn't know, but I do know up there at the Norfolk Center, we mentioned Jacques Goulet and Rudy Kay. That's two Canadian guys. Against the Oak Brothers out of Georgia. So I know those guys could go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that we had Skip Young beating Gene Anderson. I don't know if that's a misprint or not, or maybe a DQ or something. But what I was going to get at is we've got all this talent out here. Got two strong men down here. Tony Atlas, he's from Roanoke, Virginia.
Okay.
So he's wrestling Ken Patera. So that's two strong men. That may have been maybe the big draw was a muscle or whatever, but as far as working, all these guys are incredible workers, you know.
Yeah.
Shows would have been great wrestling shows for the NWA at that time. I think I'm not sure if all those results are 100% for sure, but at this time we're going to say they are, I guess. There's just questions on air.
I assumed that Richard Blood was Ricky Steamboat, but apparently it wasn't. I also want to point out here that Chris Tolos was Mr. X number one's tag team partner. That would be John Tolos' brother and former tag team partner.
Right.
This dude had been around for a little bit of time and was really from the golden age of the NWA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll shoot.
Also, Abe Jacobs. Abe Jacobs was getting up there a little bit at that point, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, and Johnny Weaver had to have been getting up there starting to.
Yeah, that's what I go with next. Yeah. So we're seeing a tail end of some of these guys' careers, and we're kind of seeing the tip of the beginning of these guys. Some of these guys really taking off to be superstars.
Yeah.
Namely, probably Ric Flair is going to really take off that jumps the page here.
Well, yeah, if he was.
Harley stays throughout his whole career, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Flair was most hated that year, then, yeah, you know, he was really setting on fire. I was going to go somewhere with this next part here, but I forgot where it was. Tony Atlas versus Ken Patera. That is just muscle heads right there, man.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming what you got were big bumps out of that match and lots of clubbing. that's what I'm assuming you get in that one. So both of these, you think, were these both JCP? Was Jim Crockett running both the Carolinas and Virginia area at this time?
Oh, both of those are Carolina territory. Okay. Greensboro was one of the biggest draws for him, and then Norfolk was a regular stop too. yeah, those are both JCP towns right there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's for sure. Someone's calling a station there.
Yeah.
Someone's calling a station. Well, Johnny.
They were calling in with the 10 songs, but they got the second one wrong. So, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the Carolinas. Apparently the AWA had a show. Again, we're talking November 23rd, 1978. We're going to skip up to Minneapolis, Minnesota for a big AWA show, it looks like.
Yep.
Let's go from the bottom to top on this one. How's that? Let's start down there at the bottom because we'll start the midget match. How about that?
Yeah, I was going to say this has to be a little person match these names. Cowboy Lang and Coconut Willie defeat Little Tokyo and Billy the Kid.
There you go. Now, I don't know if that's opening match or not. Usually, if you got a match like that on a card, it's usually about third, something like a kind of a gimmick match or special attraction.
Yeah, take a breath, take a leak, you know, kind of blow some of the tension back out of a place. Yeah.
Yep. But I'll take the next one because I know for sure I can't say the one above it. I could say Iron Sheik defeated Kenny J. I knew a Kenny Wynn. Shout out to you, Kenny Wynn. Lace up those boots and let's go at it again, Kenny Wynn. Iron Sheik defeated Kenny J. Now, that's not a name that jumps out to me either. Iron Sheik does, obviously.
Yeah, Bubba.
The next two, you're good on last names, so tell me these next two.
Yeah, Steve Olsonowski versus Cecil Dubois. Olsonowski goes over with a disqualification by Cecil Dubois. Dubois is a fun name to say. It just is. I don't know those names at all. But I do want to reference something about Sheiky Baby real quick.
Okay, sure.
I was going through my Twitters last week and Sheik had whoever it is that runs his Twitter, I don't care that it's somebody else. It's funnier than shit, okay?
Right.
The Sheik puts out, he says, you know, where's the beef? And and Wendy's answers back. And I wish this was in front of me so I could read it word for word, but it's not. But Wendy's answers back, hey, Bubba, the beef is in our cheeseburgers, and don't worry, our cheeseburgers are way better than that jabroni Hulk Hogan. And to which the Sheik replies, Wendy's, did we just become best friends? And to me, that tweet won the week. I was like, nobody's doing better.
That's good, yeah.
Nobody's doing better.
I saw that. You're right. That's a good one, man. That's a real good one. I like it. I can dig it. Back to the show here. We've got Bobby Duncombe defeating Paul Ellering. I think Paul wrestled as Paul the Bull Ellering, if I'm not mistaken.
I think during this time, that would have been right.
Because he came through Memphis, was holding back a truck, doing some strongman feats at that time. Well, like he put himself against the wall, and the truck was driving. Ken Patera did that same thing. They both did that when they came through Memphis, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe one of them done it on another TV, I'm just saying, but both of them done some strongman stunts is what I was getting at.
Yeah.
So I think Paul, he wasn't Precious Paul then, of course, but I think he was Paul the Bull Ellering for a short time. Yeah, I could be wrong.
Well, and those, you know, those of us who mainly knew him as a manager, Paul Ellering in his day was a fucking slab of beef. I mean, dude was like that Jesse the Body Ventura, superstar yes. Billy Graham kind of category.
Yeah.
You know, where he was that, just that bodybuilder, like show bodybuilder kind of build. I am guessing, and it'll come to light a little more ahead, 1978, Bobby Heenan must have still been in Detroit.
Okay.
Or maybe Georgia. Because Bobby Duncombe they don't have anything here about Bobby Heenan being with him.
Yeah, he may have been at Georgia then.
Yeah.
That may be right. Or still, like you said, he might be still working in Indianapolis or for the Sheik or something.
Yeah, so, I guess, you know, he probably wasn't there yet, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Okay.
We go to Super Destroyer Mark II, which is like a number two. But he had to get the word Mark in there because he's a big fan. Defeats Billy Robinson. Now, that has to be a fucking mistake.
Yeah, I'm thinking it has to be, too. Unless they was building up for a big angle, which would be a blow-off show like the Thanksgiving show.
Yeah.
And I can't see the babyface being defeated like Billy Robinson, I would assume, being a babyface against Super Destroyer Mark II. So I can't see it. Maybe this is just a misprint. I'm not sure of the sources here. Just saying, but I think Billy Robinson, I think you're correct. I'd say Billy Robinson probably went over. They may have had a little bit of a thing together, and then they blew it off on this, you know, this Thanksgiving show.
Because Billy Robinson is one of those names that other wrestlers just pass out when they hear it. Fuck, you're putting me in there with him?
Yeah. That guy's I can't see a babyface, you know, getting put, you know, doing the job that night on a big show like
that. No, not on Thanksgiving. I can't.
Yeah. Okay. All right, it's going to take us to our main event. You want to announce it?
Yep. The main event is Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzell versus the AWA Tag Team Champions, Pat Patterson and Ray Stevens, who are, of course, San Francisco mainstays from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the other reason that makes me think that Heenan wasn't there, because Ray Stevens with Heenan was Bockwinkel's tag team partner usually.
Yep. And that may have been closer to 79, maybe after the first of this year. We're in November of 78, so that could be, we could be just a couple months away from that, I'm thinking.
Yeah. And see, and here's like you're talking about the Thanksgiving show thing, right? Gagne and Brunzell go over, but it's a DQ.
Yeah.
So they keep the champs strong, but they still give the win to the good guys.
Right. The babyfaces get the win. Yeah. Everyone goes home happy on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly. And
saving their money for Christmas shows.
Well, yeah, exactly. But yeah, Patterson and Stevens were a hell of a tag team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We put them on our top 10 too.
And Ray Stevens, I think money, dollar for dollar, Ray Stevens, you may be able to make the argument, might be one of the greatest heels in wrestling, period.
Yeah. And also, bump taker.
Yeah.
I tell you, he took some tremendous bumps. I always think Kurt Hennig, when you watch some of his clips, Hennig took some craziest bumps off some moves, man. But I tell you, Ray Stevens, too, man, he just took some bumps. I mean, he would fly over that top turnbuckle. He would fly over the top rope. No regard for his body whatsoever as far as the way he took them bumps, man.
Yeah.
In the future, when he's older, you know, going up to WWF, he was still taking some bumps for some younger guys at his age. Pretty impressive, man.
Well, and Bobby,
they would help a tag team.
Yeah, Bobby Heenan must have learned that from him, because Bobby, when he was doing his, especially in the WWF, because he took some nasty spills there. You know, he would go out over the top rope flat on his back, you know.
Yeah.
That's got to be that same school of how to sell as a heel, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they were like some of the best at it, you know. So anyway, what else you want to talk about this week?
During Thanksgiving, man. I got a quick question here. Just a real quick one. I know that Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzell were the hot babyface tag team here. How much of that was Greg Gagne riding on Jim Brunzell's fucking coattails?
I'd say a lot.
Yeah. I don't remember much about Greg Gagne as a wrestler. I just remember he looked smaller than everybody else, which is whatever, you know, take it or leave it. His dad was a great wrestler.
Yeah.
And he tried shoving Greg Gagne down our throats and it didn't take off, which is just further proof that the Von Erich boys were as good as they were supposed to be.
Yeah, good point.
Because you can shove as much as you want, but it's not always going to work unless there's some charisma and some style and some skill there.
Yeah. And Brunzell, you know, he had a pretty good career. He had a really good body, and he could wrestle pretty damn good. You know, he's pretty athletic. And I think he broke in around 75 with Flair and him, if I'm not mistaken, too.
Yeah, well,
he was in that first group, Iron Sheik. The group that Vern trained, that group, Iron Sheik was in that group with he's on, here he is on a show, and we're talking 78. They broke in 75. It's Iron Sheik's on one of these shows. Ric Flair's on one of the shows we mentioned. And who am I missing there? I just said Jim Brunzell. There's Billy Robinson coached him some at those camps. I know that because I know Sheiky maybe put him over as one of his coaches. There's someone – Ken Patera. There we go. I knew it was. So you got Ric Flair, Ken Patera, Jim Brunzell, and Iron Sheik, four guys. I'm trying to think of the fifth guy they trained with, but that there was only like five. Oh, Greg Gagne, right there. There it is. There's four or five guys from 1975. Here's 1978 working on major cards across the United States that Vern trained.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's a tie-in. That's the tie-in. In 75, they were all breaking into business. They had been trained by Vern Gagne, and there's five of them, and there they all are working in some capacity. When he shows, two of them actually been in a main event, three of them been in a main event, Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzell, and then up there, when Ric Flair was in a main event. So, and then we got, like I said, Iron Sheik and Patera, all those guys training together. Wow. That's interesting. This is only 3 years after breaking in, they're doing this kind of business. That's great. And as we know, they all, you know, still did pretty damn good for the rest of their careers as well, too.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Jim Brunzell would go on to be in the Killer Bees, was probably his biggest biggest move. And that was a hell of a tag team, too, during their time. Sure, yeah. The mask gimmick, I've always loved that twin magic horse shit. I don't know why it amuses me as much as it does, but it does. Especially when you get Coco Beware trying to pull off the third man routine and the, you know, it doesn't work. That kind of stuff. It's stupid, but it still makes me laugh. So Thanksgiving was a good night for wrestling in 1978.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, man, it's I don't know. It's going to be such a good Thanksgiving for WKRP ratings in 1978. This episode aired October 30th of 1978. So, we had a turkey drop we was talking about. Okay. Mm-hmm. Show's called Turkeys Away. With that said, I think we need to close things down, for Thanksgiving by telling everyone we wish and hope that you have had a nice Thanksgiving by the time you hear this, or are going to have a nice Thanksgiving by the time you hear this. I don't know. I'm going to let Jeremy take us out of here in just a few seconds, few minutes, whatever he needs to do. You already had a caller in on that, name these 10 songs and win $5,000. It said easy as that.
They had one and he got them wrong. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's cut over to our man on the street, Les Nessman, and, see what's going on.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center, where the excitement is mounting. We're here to witness the big WKRP turkey Thanksgiving giveaway.
Hey, you got permission to be out here?
What?
You're blocking my store here, buddy.
Don't you know who I am?
Huh?
I'm Les Nessman. I won the Buckeye Newshawk Award last year.
Good for you, Buckeye. Now get out of my doorway.
I'm sorry.
Creep? So far, so good, huh?
Who have gathered to witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history. All we know for sure is that in a very few moments, there are going to be a lot of happy people out here. Now, the crowd is... The crowd is, curious, but well-behaved. And I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter, and it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner, and it says, Happy Thanksgiving from WKRP. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen. What a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. The third. There's no parachutes yet.
Those can't be skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're talking!
Pushing each other? Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. Folks, I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and, oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny.
Jesus, that was a little unexpected there. Bobby, what are your thoughts on that?
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.